This is the DTV Digest, the podcast that brings you news and reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema. And now, here's your host, Mike Parkin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DTV Digest, the podcast which brings you reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema and instead went straight to DVD, Blu-ray, and streaming media. I'm your host, Mike Parkin, and joining me this week are Richard Hawes.
Hello, everybody.
And Stephen Lockridge.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, so Steve used to be on the Smoking Lam with me, and it's great to have him joining us as a on-off regular on the DTV Digest. So our show this week, we'll be looking at The Spy as our main review. Then we'll be looking at a short shot called The Robbery. And then we'll be winding up with our DTV throwback, which is Freeway. So let's crack on. Our first review then is The Spy. Sonja Wigert is a diva and a star in Stockholm when World War II breaks out, rapidly getting attention from the Nazi officer Josef Terboven. She's then recruited by Swedish intelligence as a spy, but Terboven makes a spy on the Swedes as well. Okay, so this is a pretty much a prestige sort of biopic kind of movie.
Yes.
I'm not sure how much of the espionage stuff is embellished, because if you have a look at Sonja Wigert's Wikipedia page, there is absolutely no mention of her work during the Second World War other than the films that she was in. But it stars Ingrid Bolsø-Berdal, an actress I really like for her work on films such as Cold Fear 1 and 2, and a couple of others like Hercules with Dwayne Johnson. And she does a really good job of portraying this actress. You can find examples of Sonja Wigert's work on YouTube. And yeah, she plays the part incredibly well. But yeah, this is a really solid sort of costume drama set during the Second World War in Sweden. Rich, how did you get on with this?
I'm very well. I think it's it's definitely a very interesting story that I wasn't aware of. Like you say, it's hard to know how much has been embellished. I certainly have no reason to doubt that the core themes of the film that they're saying, and they have the cards at the end of the movie saying nobody knew about this stuff until
2005. Was when official records were released.
Yeah, so it's I've tried to find little documentary videos or something that would elaborate on Sonja Wigert and mention this. So, but it's very hard to find anything. I found, but yes, a fascinating story, well told. So it might be, quite embellished in the same way as something like the recently released Jesse Eisenberg, Marcel Meursault film, Resistance, reportedly has been. I mean, sort of alluded to that it has been. The production, this is, as you say, it's a prestige movie. It's one of those films that comes along and it could have gone either way. It could have been a big sort of art house release by virtue of it being a subtitled film, although it is actually in like four languages across it. I think, there's English dialogue as well included. But its fate has been to have this more lower profile release. So there's no, it's not got, there's no sort of fanfare around it, but it's definitely well worth seeing. I couldn't fault anything about it.
It's a little long for my taste, but even so, I mean, the central idea, of this actress who, she kind of wants the war to pass her by, doesn't she, at the beginning? She's just like, well, this hasn't got nothing to do with me, I'm just an actress, I'm a film star, whatever. Girl's got to act, sort of thing. But she's attracting the wrong kind of attention from the Nazis rather than, anyone else. And she's sort of very much ostracized in the film. But it gets to a point where she's sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place where, she turns down an invitation to, dinner with this Terboven character. So he immediately has her father arrested and put in jail. It's difficult to sort of not acquiesce to that sort of pressure.
Yeah, and she, as you say, it does follow a sort of a very familiar kind of through line of the unsympathetic. She's quite unsympathetic at the start, quite selfish, and ultimately her motives for, you know, even getting involved were selfish, because she was just doing it to try and get her father out. Yeah, and but that ostracism, you know, that sort of reason to paint her, that people understood that she was just a sympathizer or just maybe not even sensitive to what was going on.
Yeah.
But to sort of have this, you know, revealed as actually, you know, there was this whole secret thing that was actually going on at the time, is quite fascinating. And I would love to see like a proper documentary about that, to see what was and what wasn't the truth of that.
Absolutely, yeah. Ingrid Bolsa-Vidal, she was in another film a few years ago called Betrayal, which is another sort of film set during the Second World War and sort of resistance and things.
I think I saw that.
She wasn't the main star in that one, but she did have a sort of prominent role as a resistance sort of spy. But one of the main characters in that one was the lead singer from Aqua.
Yes, I definitely did see that one, because that's her and Gertz Otto.
Yes.
Yeah, who was in Tomorrow Never Dies. I think I mentioned Tomorrow Never Dies earlier, and I'm pretty sure Gertz Otto was in that. So, that's quite worth seeing. Svik was the original title.
It's a lower budget film,
It's not a great movie. This one's much better, but it could make an interesting companion piece.
So this is very much in the style of something like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, where it's a mole hunt, isn't it? Basically, they know the code name for a particular mole who's working for the Nazis, but they don't know who it is, and they sort of basically want her to sort of try and figure out, you know, who's talking to the Nazis. So you get to the classic sort of, like, you know, dead letter drops and all this sort of stuff going on.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a good sort of, you know, it really is sort of old fashioned sort of spy work sort of stuff going on. So if you found out the sort of Le Carre kind of stuff, you'd definitely get something out of this, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I will join you on a 7. Check out The Spy, also known as Spionen, starring Ingrid Bolsa-Vidal. Our short shot this week is the robbery. When Crystal finds out that her dog has been put into a pound and she needs to find $200 to get her out, she decides to rob a liquor store. And it goes about as well as you expect. I thoroughly enjoyed this. It is a one-take short, or if it's not a one-take, they did a bloody good job of editing it together to make it look like it's a one-take. So from the moment we see Crystal in the back of this, she's in an Uber, being driven by Ruben, who drops her off outside this liquor store and then heads off as soon as he sees her drop a gun. We go into the liquor store with Crystal, and she tries to hold up the place, and it just goes to hell, basically. But what drives the film is the character of Crystal and her reaction to everything which is going on, which is like, she's just so skittish. It's so funny.
Because she's just smoked a crack pipe.
I'm going to say, she's going to do the crack pipe in the Uber.
Yeah, so she's just, you know, just all over the place, basically, you know. And, you know, you've got this shopkeeper who's got a crossbow. And it turns out he's a bloody good shot with this crossbow. But how they actually did those shots, I thought was pretty amazing. It's almost as if he said, "Yeah, just shoot at her. You know, we'll see what happens." Because, he really gets the sort of feel of the speed and the impact that these bolts were going to have.
Well, I think all of that is visual effects.
Oh yeah.
As far as I
yeah.
So it's just that they've just. Because it looks like, it's brilliant. But as you say, it's her character and the dialogue and, you know, the script. It's because she's sort of smoked this crack pipe, and then sort of off the cuff, she's decided to, because she needs some money to get her dog. bag from the pound. So she's decided to do this robbery, putting no thought into it whatsoever, and just walking in there and sort of, and it all going wrong. And she's like, "Hey, come on,
yeah,
leave it out." And then she's like taking phone calls from people and stuff. And then it takes a real turn at the end,
where things get
very sort of solemn, but then with an appropriately comical payoff right at the end. So yeah, it's 10 minutes long. It doesn't put a foot wrong. It's very, very good.
Yeah, so it's a one scene film, but you know the amount of emotions that the actress has to put herself through. Ray Gray is her name, as Crystal. You know, it's from being this sort of meth-addled person stumbling out of the car, you know, trying to do the robbery. Then holding all these conversations with her friends, you know, talking about Instagram posts and things like that, while being shot at. And then getting this phone call from her dad, it's a really amazing sort of range. And to do all that in one take, I thought was really, really good.
And yeah, you were saying...
Is that really, really good.
And Steve, you were just you discovered this is made by Jim Cummings, who made Thunder Road recently.
Yes. Yeah.
That was quite a strike, because I had no idea that at all.
When it came up at the end, I thought, is it him? And I've obviously checked out, and it is. I've still not seen it yet. But again, that was based on a short that he did as well. Another short that he's made it into a feature. But it kind of reminded me of something like Superbad in a way.
Hmm.
You know, where McLovin's trying to get by the beer earlier on with his fake ID and stuff like that, and then it just all goes to shit and then comes back round again. It was just... It was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It was, yeah. No, it's
bedlam for just, just 10 minutes worth of bedlam, and then with a slight bit of pathos, and then, yeah, let's go back to the bedlam again. Because the ending was... Yeah.
I thought it was just, it's so unjust when she gets maced after leaving the store. It's very, very funny. Yeah.
And where did you discover this one, Mike?
On Twitter, I think I found it turned up my Twitter feed. I don't know if it was the short or if it was the website, because this is... Can you remember the website for this?
Best Shorts or something?
Best Shorts, yeah. So we'll put a link to it in the footnotes. I can't remember if it was that showcasing the trailer or somebody put the trailer up.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I wanted to check it out, and I thought it was absolutely superb. Yeah, absolutely great performance by Ray Gray. Really well directed. If it is one take, then that's an amazing performance from start to finish. If it's if they manage to hide a few breaks in there for editing, I think there's one whip pan with the first crossbow bolt. That may have been a cut,
mm-hmm.
but even so, like when she gets shot, so there must have been someone just off camera, like setting up the effects, for that sort of thing.
Well, that's it goes in tighter, doesn't it, to her face?
That's right. Yeah. More sort of negative space to sort things out. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. A really good showcase. Very well written. Very well acted. Directed the lot, basically. It's a tight 10 minutes, thoroughly enjoyable. Definitely go check it out. Our DTV throwback this week is Freeway. In this one, Vanessa Lutz is a young teenager who runs away from home to find her grandmother's house in a different city, and finds herself being hounded by a charming but sadistic serial killer. So this is very much based on around sort of Little Red Riding Hood. It's very much prominent in the opening credit sequence. Lots of references to Red Riding Hood and the Wolf. We have a main bad guy played by Kiefer Sutherland, who is Mr. Wolverston. Wink, wink. And when she leaves her house, to go find her grandmother, she packs a picnic basket with her belongings in it rather than the suitcase or anything like that. No, it's a picnic basket because, you know, she's going to run with us.
And she's wearing a red jacket.
And she's wearing a red jacket, yeah. Yeah, this is an amazing little film. It really is. I think Reese Witherspoon's performance is superb. The accent, you know, having to act with that accent is crazy. And Kiefer Sutherland is just, like, amazing in this as well, you know, as this sort of creepy boys' school counsellor guy who picks her up on the freeway. Yeah, absolutely superb. And it goes in directions I just did not expect. You know, I really didn't expect it to go in the direction it did. So, yeah. Steve, what do you reckon?
Well, again, I only watched this today, and it's batshit insane, to be fair. It's absolutely off its head. The Red Riding Hood thing, I don't know, it just starts at 100 and just carries on. You know, she's there in the class, can't read anything. She's more or less completely illiterate. Then a mother and a stepfather get arrested, taken away, and she's supposed to be going to social services and goes on the run. Gets picked up by a serial killer. I mean, again, how he survives it, I've no idea. She shoots him like 5 times at blunt point range. Gets sent to prison, escape, and it's just, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the cast is amazing. You know, I think the cast you've got there, Keith Sutherland, Reese Witherspoon, Brittany Murphy.
Playing her boyfriend as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brooke Brittany Shields. Murphy,
Brooke Shields. Dan Hayda. I mean, it's an amazing cast, and I just can't believe some of the stuff they get away with is just unbelievable. The ending in the trailer, that's not, you know, that one line that Keith comes out with. That's not all I did with Grandma. He says, "Oh,
yeah, it's so sick."
You got him spending half the film looking like Daniel Benningfield with that bloody cage thing on his head. It's just
he gets pretty totally messed up by her, doesn't he?
Oh yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, you know, the character that Reese Witherspoon plays in this, even though she's sort of ostensibly the hero slash protagonist, I guess, you know, but she's definitely got a very wavy moral compass. I think they do say that she doesn't, you know, she's got issues of like taking responsibility for what she does and things like that. So, yeah, she's got no qualms about allowing her, the person who's running away with her, to sort of basically curb stomp this other woman's head, you know, in order to get away. It's like, are you done? We really should go now, sort of thing, you know. So, yeah, absolutely amazing film. Rich.
Yeah, I saw it when it came out, I think 1996. So it was quite low key considering the cast. But as you've already mentioned, you know, some of the content, it's not surprising that this became a DTV release. It's directed by written and directed by Matthew Bright, who was done a few things before, but this was like his breakthrough. And he's a friend of the Elfman brothers. So Danny Elfman, he'd actually written, two films for Richard Elfman over at when he did his Full Moon stuff. But so he's gone sort of solo here. And Danny Elfman does some of the music here, which is actually quite different to the music you expect to hear from Danny Elfman.
I recognize it as Danny Elfman, I must admit. Yeah. So, yeah.
And the whole thing is very much an unpredictable black comedy. It goes, you know, it starts out with a sort of very on the nose kind of the illiteracy stuff. She's trying to read the cat drank milk or something like that. And it's just, that's quite funny in itself. But then, you know, things take a really dark turn on more than one occasion. But it gets away with it. It sort of works. I think of it as like, so it's a Little Red Riding Hood retelling, but it's kind of very, it's not as comical as it could have been, but you know, like John Waters kind of approach.
Yeah.
But I think he would have gone even more silly. So I think it's kind of, it could have gone like in a Troma direction or something. So it's kind of got this sort of weird indie middle ground of the tone. Kiefer Sutherland's great. The sort of casting against type of people like Brooke Shields is really clever. Brittany Murphy turns up in a couple of scenes doing her usual, the thing she did in the 90s, which was being that kooky teenager.
Mm.
So very similar to like in Drive and Clueless. Mm. And Reese Witherspoon's great in what is, in a way, it's kind of a forerunner to her Elle Woods character in Legally Blonde, although with, you know, that obviously had all the rough edges of this character completely taken off.
Yeah.
But there is a relationship I think we can see there. So yeah, it's highly very entertaining. Well, we're seeing there's also a follow-up. I don't think it was made as a sequel, but it had the same idea. So yeah,
same director as well.
So what he did was he wrote what was called Confessions of a Trick Baby, which was Hansel and Gretel, basically took the same sort of white trash ideas on it, and they released that as Freeway 2, Confessions of a Trick Baby with Natasha Lyonne. That's well worth seeing as well.
Cool. Any other thoughts on this, guys? So we don't score the throwbacks, but we do recommend them mostly. I think there's only been a couple where we said avoid, but this is highly recommended. It's available on Amazon Prime, and we heartily recommend that you check it out. And thank you for listening. That is the end of our show this week. So thanks for Rich and Steve for joining me.
No problem at all, sir.
Thank you very much.
And we'll have another show out soon. So thank you for listening and tune again.
Thank you for listening to the DTV Digest. Let us know your thoughts in the comments and tune in again next time.